This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture. I'm Juliet Jacobs. Dreams We Tell Ourselves is described as a 60-minute solo performance exploring the emotional turmoil that comes with leaving behind the familiarity of home and embarking on an uncertain journey through the lens of the narrating protagonist, the dreamer. So this intimate exploration is also set to delve into the complexities of human aspirations and the delicate balance between chasing a dream and settling for a predictable yet unfulfilling nightmare. It sounds very intense, and I'm going to find out what's it all about from Wyman Wai. He is the director and performer of Dreams We Tell Ourselves. And Murasaki Haru, he is the production manager of Dreams We Tell Ourselves. He's also the artistic director of Howl's Theatre Company. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Very excited for the interview.
Yeah, thank
Haru,
you.
Haru.
Thank you so much for joining me today. So Haru, I mean, no stranger, we spoke last year. Gosh, it was last year, right?
Yeah.
Time flies. How have things been with you and with Howl's Theatre Company?
It's okay. I remember constantly saying 2023 during the interview last year because I was already here.
Yes, you did.
And it feels, yeah, things are kicking off quite well, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
We don't exactly have anything solid planned after this production, but we were working on something. So stay tuned if you're interested.
Okay, excellent. So, and Wyman, this is your first time here. And I believe, as you told me off air, your very first radio interview. Welcome. And this is your baby, isn't it? Dreams We Tell Ourselves is pretty much your baby. Tell me though first, you know, have you ever done, is this your first foray into like a stage performance? Do you have a history of, you know, performing and things like that?
Right. So before the pandemic, I mainly stage managed.
Mm-hmm.
And I was stage managing for 3 years before I went on a hiatus. And I did direct a play before. It was a device play under Theatre 360.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that was before the hiatus. And I went to UK, and then when I came back, I had this newfound realization with studying abroad. So I went to Haru and proposed a play which encapsulates my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And hence the birth of Dreams We Tell Ourselves.
Okay, all right. We're going to get to that. But, you know, when you were in the UK, you know, what were you studying, you know, and how long were you away from home and things like that?
Right. It was an exchange program, actually.
Okay.
So just for a semester, a short 3 months period. And I was studying advertising and brand management.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
quite different from what we're talking about here.
It is. I also had the intention to return to the UK to finish my studies towards the end of this year. However, because of circumstances, I'm unable to. Mm-hmm. And that propelled me to putting up this play even more, because then there's that wanting to leave but couldn't kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. And you know, I was reading the press release that you guys sent me, and you said that the play's title draws attention to the, and I'm quoting here, the human tendency to tell ourselves stories about our dreams and aspirations, both in reality and as a form of escapism.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Right. So I believe that all of us have a dream that we really want to work towards. But whether or not we do it is a entirely different story.
Mm.
And I found myself planning for the future a lot, thinking about what I want, you know, how do I achieve that. But then there are so many circumstances that are unexpected, and things just get pushed aside, and we end up with the results that we don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
So that exploration of like, how do we balance pursuing what we want and also like understanding what we cannot achieve.
Mm-hmm.
That's the exploration that this play aims to achieve.
Okay. And yeah. I guess, you know, a lot of us growing up, we're told like, okay, you know, have a dream and if you work hard, you will achieve it, right?
Yeah.
And that's clearly not always that's not always the case, is
yeah.
it, right?
Yeah.
And for you, Haru, I mean, you know, when Wyman approached you, you know, with this, with these themes, you know, and with this sort of story, you know, I mean, how did you sort of react to it? Did you feel like, you know, you could relate to it on some level as well?
I would say the play definitely resonated with me, at least the idea of it when it started off, because I also went to UK to study for 9 months for my final year of my degree.
Mm-hmm.
And we had quite different experiences, but there is definitely that dream aspect of it. You know, like when we go overseas to study, there's always the elders, like parents saying, don't come back, you know, like stay there if you can.
Oh no, the Asian parents. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but then the moment I went to the UK, I immediately realized that it's a nice country. I love it there, but I don't think it's where I belong. So there is already that sense of do I stay, do I leave? Doing theatre, especially if I were to stay in the UK, things could be better. I'm not saying the Malaysian theatre scene isn't good. Like, it's great. I love it here more than like how indie and underground it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, there is definitely that aspect of the dream that I relate to that also prompts me to go like, yeah, you know what, let's do this.
Okay, so
I really want to add on to what Haru was saying.
Sure.
Like, it was like a dream to him. And to me, it felt more like a fever dream than just a dream because I was only there for 3 months.
Sure.
And because the initial plan of my studies was to end my degree there, so I would come back to Malaysia and return to the UK towards the end of the year. So there was a lot of reservation when I was in Manchester for 3 months. And I was like, okay, I'll be back here, so I shouldn't spend too much. You know, I'll save for the next trip when I'm here for good. And when things didn't happen and I'm forced to come back, there's this a bit like post-vacation blues, but it's more like...
More intense.
Yeah, intense, you know, and it all just felt like a fever dream to me.
Okay, all right. It must have been a tough time as well. I mean, I'm not going to ask you the circumstances, but I mean, you know, when your plans are sort of uprooted and things, you know, change and they're beyond your control, I mean, that must have been a very difficult time for you as well.
It is. In fact, in the press release I mentioned about it was something that happened.
Yes.
That sparked a play. I was actually assaulted in the UK.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And that sparked a whole... and when I was assaulted, I was... alone in the UK, so that sparked the whole without a support system in the UK, it's better if I stay there, should I come back, and all that question that happens in my mind, and then that spins in a whole turmoil.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I hope you got the support that you needed, you know, after that.
Yeah, I did.
Okay, yeah. All right. And this must be also a form of catharsis for you, right?
Yes.
Writing about it and exploring, I guess, what happened.
Yeah.
Trying to fathom what it is about, right? Okay, all right. So we have to come and watch the play, right, to find out
yes.
what it's all about. But I was also reading that, you know, in the play and through the memories of the dreamer, which I guess is you, right, Wyman, you utilize a range of multimedia elements, including visual, audio, text, and this is sort of to evoke emotions and convey your central message. It uses something called core elements, and I'm giggling here because this shows how ancient I am. I didn't know what core was, but it's a TikTok thing, right? It started off as that. Can you explain that to people like me who don't know?
Right. So I wouldn't call it a TikTok thing per se,
okay.
but it emerged in TikTok, and I see it starting to spread throughout other social media platforms as well. So it stemmed from the idea of doom scrolling.
Doom scrolling.
Yeah, and how we're constantly feed with all this information about, you know, like the social media syndrome where we see how other people are doing better than us. And it's like a visual representation of how sad and meaningless our life as the scroller might be.
Mm-hmm.
And then the idea of core is using medias from various sources, from news footage, from excerpts from films, from texts, from songs, to sort of create a juxtaposition in the final piece itself. And I guess it kind of resonates with the play itself, the idea of core, the idea of if we were to live without our dreams, would life just be meaningless? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to connect these two elements and bring in a kind of digital movement into theatre itself. Yeah.
So is this the first time that we're going to be seeing, or at least in Malaysia, I'm not sure about, we're going to be seeing core in theatre, in a theatre performance? Because it's mostly, as you said, it's mostly like a visual sort of, I mean, it's mostly on the socials, right?
Yeah.
Is this the first time you think that it's coming onto the stage as well?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. But I mean, even in theatre, we have been introducing multimedia theatre a lot, you know, with projections and everything. And there is some similarities with core, not... essentially core, but there is that direction that we're slowly shifting towards.
Sure.
More, you know, more artists are putting projections in performances. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And was that something new to you as well, Haru? Core and, you know, everything that it stands for?
Yes, when Wyman told me about core, I have no clue. I don't know why my head was something else. And when I watched it, I was like, oh, this feels very familiar. Yeah.
I had to make a video reference to show Haru and also our scenographer Brian for them to get an idea of what the vibe would be like.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So if we don't know what Korkor is, this is also a good way to come and learn more about it by watching the play. So you are going to be on stage on your own, right? This is a one man, it's a one person performance. It's self written. It's exploring a lot of some very personal emotions and some personal experiences. How has that been like? Putting that all and going to show it to the public, right? Quote unquote exposing yourself in that way.
I think I've always been a fan of more personal works, things that I personally experience and resonate with. And initially, fun fact, this play was supposed to happen in my bedroom, in my own bedroom, with just a few invited guests. I wasn't comfortable opening my house to the public. But I thought, hey, why not show it to the public, share it, I'm sure that with the borders opening and everything, there are a lot of students like myself who are going overseas to study, and they might have similar experiences with dreaming about being overseas or being stuck here in Malaysia. So why not make it public? So hence I approached Haru and pitched this idea, and he was very happy to explore it with me. So we co-wrote it together, and he's been supporting me throughout the whole process.
Yeah. Okay, all right. And Haru, as a production manager, helping out with everything, how has it been, taking that idea of Wyman's and, putting it onto the stage? Yeah.
It's very stressful at the moment. Given we open next week. Yeah, I think it's also me being very me, where I'm constantly juggling a few productions at once. But I would say it's very rewarding seeing something that we wrote together very collaboratively come to life. And the last time I properly caught something that is a solo one-person play would be Every Bidden Thing, back when Theatre 360 did. It was directed by Chris Ting, featured Kaha, if I'm not wrong. Yeah, so to watch something like this again really sparked something in me as a theatre maker, and I think we've been dying to watch scripted works for a while, especially because there's this trend of device theatre.
Oh, yes.
So very rewarding despite the stress, yes.
Okay, all right. And, for anyone who's coming, right, just sort of give them a visual or explain to them, what they will experience when they come and watch you perform, Wyman.
Right, so when you come to watch Dreams, Your Child Herself, you'll enter the dreamscape of the dreamer, where the dreamer reminisces about a time where he went through a journey of self-exploration, also in his time abroad, and also a friend that he met that draw him out of his shell. So all this reminiscing eventually comes back to the present, where he is stuck in a mundane life, and whether or not he's able to break from it and once more pursue the dreams that he once told himself. Yeah.
Okay. It sounds very intense. Would you say it's hopeful as well, or is it just sort of exploratory? I don't know how to.
Right. Well, I would say it's more melancholy.
Melancholy, yeah, all right.
Than hopeful. Okay. But throughout the play itself, there are parts where it will be very hopeful as well. The dreamer is also struggling to recall why he went through a journey of self-exploration during his time abroad. Why did he do all those things that it wasn't expected of him? And ultimately, will he or will he not be able to break out? That's for the audience to find out.
Okay. All right. So you can't give too much away there in that sense. So it's happening. It's happening very, very soon, isn't it? So it's starting on the 29th. So that's just, wow, you guys have a week. Less than a week to go. And it's going to be held over at M Gallery, am I correct?
Yep.
Okay, and where's M Gallery? Is that a theatre space?
It's a fairly new art space. Right outside Tsinghua University.
Okay, all right. Okay, and the team that you've got working with you guys, just the two of you mentioned, what was it, Brian?
Brian doing scenography, and then there's Jeremy, who's doing our front of house and ticketing, who also did it for our previous house theatre play.
Okay, all right. So it's a small, tight company, huh? Small, really tight production. Okay, you guys must be very, very excited, as well as nervous. So Dreams We Tell Ourselves, that's running from the 29th of March to the 18th of April at M Gallery. So So that's over in Bandar Sunway, as you mentioned. Performances are 8:30 p.m. and entry is only 40 ringgit. And there are also student bookings with free theatre workshops available. You want to talk to me about that?
Yep. So we currently have this offer for students. It doesn't necessarily have to be theatre students or drama students. We have this buy 9 free 1 offer. Mm-hmm. And feel free to email us or DM us on our Instagram. All the details are there. And we also provide free workshops. You can even go to your school to do them. So it's like a fun collaboration thing. And we can even talk like perhaps future productions that students want to put out themselves.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Are the both of you going to be doing these workshops? Is that... Or who will be running these workshops?
As of now, it would just be me.
Haru, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, excellent. And if anyone would like to find out more, they just need to email howlstheatreco@gmail.com or follow you guys on social media, right? That would be the best way to do it. And again, just to remember that each performance begins on time and it runs for 60 minutes without an intermission. And I guess any content warning, any sort of like, trigger warnings or things like that?
Right, so... there will be described violence and also death.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So just so people know. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me today. Any last message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. How about for you, Wyman?
I think that if you have a dream, this place for you.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Juliet, for having us.
Most welcome. I've been speaking to Wyman Y, director and performer of Dreams We Tell Ourselves, and Murasaki Haru, the production manager of Dreams We Tell Ourselves and the artistic director of Howl's Theatre Company. Again, if you'd like to find out more, just follow Howl's Theatre Company on their social media. And if you miss any part of our conversation today, you can always search for the podcast at bfm.my/front-row. Or you can find it on the BFM app. This has been Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.